This is Ozarks at Large. This week, lawmakers kicked off a series of meetings expected to take months to complete, centered on workforce education and resources. The goal? To find a better way to use the state's resources to marry industry and education, particularly as it applies to existing jobs, available jobs, and the jobs of the future. To learn more, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics recently sat down with three leaders on the subject, State Senator Jane English, Higher Education Chief Shane Broadway, and Delta Regional Authority Co-Chair Chris Massengill.
So we've been talking about it for months. You guys have been talking about it for years. Assess the problem for me. Let's start with you, Jane. Senator English, what's wrong with our workforce education system? Why is it not working?
I think our workforce education system is so siloed that we have a hard time identifying what the issues are and then trying to move the resources in that direction. And that's really what I'm hoping we'll be able to do.
Are the silos in higher education?
They're everywhere. They are in higher education, they're in two-year colleges, they're in government programs, they're in K through 12 education. It's everywhere.
Is that an accurate assessment?
There, in terms of the colleges, there's probably not as many silos. We've been working to try to reduce those, but Senator English is right. You've got a number of different parts and pieces throughout the state who are doing great things. The problem is sometimes it's figuring out what is scalable to a statewide level. What programs are working, and then how do we take the few resources we have? And that's one of our greatest challenges, especially with the colleges. They work very closely with their business and industry, but a lot of time the difficulty is especially finding capital to be able to start a program. You can start a program, but a lot of times the equipment's very expensive. Mm-hmm. So how do we take the limited resources we have into a statewide type of program and scale that up?
Where stuff can be distributed from maybe one two-year college to a different two-year
exactly.
college where there may be more
needed.
Chris, you are obviously spending your time not only in the Delta region of Arkansas, but you see other states and how they address workforce challenges. Give me your assessment of what Arkansas's problems are in that lens.
Well, I think the Senator and Shane hit it, I think, very succinctly. And this is just not an Arkansas problem. It is a regional problem. It is a national problem. We've been doing workforce development from a supply side. We need to really be thinking about this from a demand side, and you've got to do both of these at the same time, and you've got to do it where business and industry is at the driver's seat in whatever we do, number one. Number two is we have to look at this from a holistic systems approach, not individual elements, not just K through 12 or higher ed or career and technical education. This has to be pulled together as a holistic system to match the needs of business and industry.
This week, Senator English, you've started a series of hearings. They're going to continue for months around the state. You want them to do this type of coordination that Chris is talking about here, but what's your overall goal in terms of these meetings and these hearings?
Right now, we're looking at what are the resources we have available and asking our agencies to come and talk about the programs that they have, the resources they have. We're going to go on the road to as soon as school starts so that legislators, that's a big thing, is to help educate legislators. So if you live in Camden, you know what's going on in Camden, but if you don't, you need to know what's going on every place. And there are some really great things going on in K through 12, two-year colleges, higher ed, lots of things going on in the state that we need to figure out what's good, how do we replicate that, and how do we move resources in that direction to help expand those programs.
That lays the foundation for policy changes in
yes.
2015 in the legislative session too. Former Senator Broadway, there, look at that, I got caught
Mr.
up there.
Bullington.
Director Broadway, you are part of the governor's workforce cabinet.
Right.
There was a meeting a few weeks ago, a lot of industry leaders
right.
there. Did the message get sent loud and clear that change has got to happen in this?
Certainly, and I think it's in a kind of a twofold approach. It was best for us to be able to hear directly from business and industry what their needs are so that we can try to respond. I don't know that there were a lot of things that we had not heard before, but it was good that it was a collective group that was gathered to do that. I think you've got two issues, short term and long term. Short term, you've got industries who are losing people who are going to retire, who have a certain skill set that need to be replaced
right.
quickly. So we've got to identify those programs, get those programs up and going, get the equipment in the hands, and figure out how do we solve the opening problem we have now. I think you've got a longer term issue that we've got to look at long term. How do we change the mindset in the paradigm in terms of the understanding about the opportunities that are out there for students and for parents. We have a number of Arkansans who have some college but no degree, who are unemployed or in many cases underemployed, who can go into a training program and receive just a few weeks or a few months of training and go out and get a very high-paying job. And so it's, I think we've got to do a long-term strategy of educating at the earlier ages for parents and students to understand if you go to work at Caterpillar. It's not what a lot of times we have in the mindset of grease and oil and all those kinds of things. It's people wearing khakis and polos, polo shirts, pushing buttons on a computer.
Mm-hmm. Playing video games, not a bad asset or skill to have
exactly.
In terms of doing that.
Manufacturing has changed a lot, and we've got to get that message out there.
Chris, is this workforce education overhaul, obviously it's good for areas of the state where there are a lot of thriving businesses and there is growth. In the Delta region, population growth declining. How does this shift in workforce education, how can it impact the Delta?
Well, it's a critical issue. In fact, I would submit to you that this is the number one issue facing economic development. You've heard Governor Beebe talk for years now that there's a connection between education and economic development. He's absolutely right, but it's bigger than that, right? This is the single most important issue facing economic developers in every part of the state and every part of the region. And if we're going to be competitive in a global 21st century economy, the states, the regions, the communities that fix this problem first and get to it are the ones that are going to put themselves in a better competitive advantage. This is way too important not to make a priority for the state and at the local level.
So I don't have to tell the three of you at this table, and I've asked everybody that's come on in the last couple of weeks about this workforce education thing. Cutting through the political bureaucracy that's there as well as the government red tape that is there, you have to make some hard decisions to get some of this stuff to move along. Do we need a workforce czar? Do we need someone who can be charged and tasked with making that difference? Shane, I'll go to you first.
Well, I would say currently we have that. We have certainly the governor and Senator English. She's helping to be our workforce czar right now. So I think in terms of the overall model, the one thing I would recommend to whoever the next governor is going to be would be to keep the governor's workforce cabinet model. I think it has worked very well. We responded early on in the governor's administration to business and industry in creating the career readiness certificate, the Arkansas Works program, career coaches program, career pathways initiatives, many different programs that have come out of that model. So I think if nothing else, you maintain that model, whether you have someone who's kind of working and coordinating out of the governor's office, wherever. I'd leave that to the governor.
Senator English, do we need a workforce czar? Do we need a singular person at the head, at the helm?
I do believe we do.
You think we do?
I do. I think we do. I think that while everybody is working very hard at trying to do a good job at what they do, unfortunately, we don't have the kind of coordination that we really have to have. And sometimes even when a company is coming to town or locating in the state, we don't always have the coordination. The will is there. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to put all the pieces together, and too many times an agency doesn't have the resource, doesn't have the people, doesn't have the ability to be able to come to the table. And even when I was with the Department of Economic Development years ago and working with a company, I wanted to be able to have a company sit down with us and tell us exactly what they needed to do and then reach out very quickly and be able to gather those resources together without having to go through a lot of problems.
15 seconds. Do we need a workforce czar?
You need an entity that can fight against silos, that can fight against competing ideologies, that can fight against entrenched systems, that can break these barriers down. If it's a person, if it's a cabinet, you've got to have an empowered individual or group of individuals that this is their number one priority every day, bar none.
That was Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business and Politics, speaking with State Senator Jane English, Higher Education Chief Shane Broadway, and Delta Regional Authority Co-Chair Chris Massengill. More information is available at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business and Politics on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity, backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com.